Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here. If I haven't met you before, my name is Rich Schmidt, one of the pastors here, and we like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using, I think, forever. The Lord be with you. Thank you. One reason I'm glad that we have that little exchange as we start our services is because we need to know that God is with us. Some of you had some pretty scary times going through the storms this past week. I was just talking with one of you earlier. Like, I could see the tornado from my porch, and it was not that far from our house. and we have neighbors who, you know, I mean, we collectively, not like right next door to our house, but, you know, we all have neighbors who were hit hard. And we need to know in times like that that God is with us, that he meets us right where we live. Not in some fantasy land where everything goes right, or we're better than we really are, but God meets us right where we are with all of our questions or doubts or whatever we bring with us. I would love it if we could bow our heads and pray as we begin. God, thank you. Thank you for meeting us here in reality where we live. Some of us having just come through a terrifying week, some of us just hearts kind of filled with gratitude, God. We don't know what to make of it, but we're thankful that that we weren't affected worse than we were. And God, we lift up our neighbors to you and pray that you will continue to provide and perhaps provide through us. But, God, continue to provide for those who find themselves with overwhelming need right now. God, thank you that whatever we walk into this time and place with, whatever's buzzing through our minds, whatever's weighing on our hearts, that we can bring it all to you. You are the God who made us, who loves us, who is with us right now. And we want to be able to bring all of who we are into this hour of worship together. Please, God, use everything that we do, the songs, the scriptures, the prayers, the table. Use all of it, God, to connect our hearts to yours. Help us to be open, honest, ready to receive and ready to share whatever it is that we need to share with you. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. That's why trust him. We sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. We sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. We sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why we trust him. That's why we trust in God, my Savior. We sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why we trust him. That's why we trust in God, our Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Amen. I invite you to join me in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that you are a God that can be trusted. Lord, in the midst of storms, even great storms, you are there with us. You are guiding us. You're protecting us. You're showing us the way we should go. You're giving us and providing for us everything that we need. We are so thankful this morning that you are a God that will never fail, that we can trust no matter what. You are a good God. You are a good God then. You're a good God now. You'll be a good God in the future, Lord. That never changes. And oh, what peace that brings to us when we know that we can depend on that. We can rely on that. We can rest in that truth, Lord. Thank you so much this morning. Thank you for bringing us through the storms that we experienced this last week. So many of our neighbors, Lord, lost so much. People that we know, people that we love, Lord. And yet you have been with all of us through all of it. And we can never really thank you enough for being with us and protecting us, Lord. I thank you for each person that's here, that's in this building with us, that's online with us now or will be later, Lord, that your voice would be heard in everything that is sung, everything that is prayed, everything that has said. Lord, I thank you for inviting us here. And I thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you in song, in word, and at the table. I pray that you'll be with the rest of this service. Be with Pastor Rich as he brings your word for us. And in all of this, Lord, we want to give you honor and glory and blessing as we pray everything in your name. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
All right. While the folks in the room here are finishing up their conversations, just wanted to say hello again to those of you watching us online. We're glad that you're here. I've seen some of you commenting saying that you are with us, so we're glad to have you here. Since we didn't get to shake your hand, give you a hug right now, drop us a note in the comments. Let us know you're with us. We would love to at least greet you that way. And if there's some way we can be praying for you, this goes for all of us. If there's some way we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, answering a question for you, any of that kind of thing, you can either use the link on the screen or a card back there. What's up, Diane? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We'll pray for him. Pray for Tony. Okay. Thanks, Diane. Of course. Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, make sure you wrote that on one of those cards, right? To pray for him. All right. Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, if there's some way we can be. Yeah, Debbie. Sure, sure. What's going on, Peggy? Oh, okay. We sure could, yeah. Peggy's in a lot of pain right this minute. Your hip, you said? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. We're gonna pray for you in just a second. Okay. I'm gonna finish this little, making sure you guys know how we can. You can let us know how we can be praying for you. There's little green cards back there you can fill out. Drop in the offering box. If you're giving today, you can drop it in there. You can give online. All that. Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. And then. And then I've got a couple of other announcements. But let's pray first. God, thank you that you invite us to come to you with all of our needs and all of the things going on, whether it's Tony down the street who's needing a fresh touch from you, or Peggy right here in the room who needs some serious relief from pain. God, you know every single one of us has got some stuff going on in our lives where we desperately need to know that you're with us. We need your touch. We need your healing. We need your strength. We need your wisdom. We need your hope. Thank you, God, that you invite us to bring all of ourselves, all of our needs to you. And thank you, God, that you are present and active and at work in our lives. There are so many testimonies in this room of ways you have answered prayers, ways that we have cried out to you and you have shown up. Sometimes just exactly like we were asking in the moment. Sometimes it's taken a whole lot longer and it's used some other route, some kind of doctor or medication. Sometimes, God, you've just walked with us through the dark valley and seen us safely through to the other side. But God, we thank you for being a God who is with us, who hears our prayers, who answers. Thank you, God. Thank you that this morning we get to hear from you and your word. We get to hear a story of your faithfulness and your work in our lives. Thank you, God. We want to be open and receptive to all that you want to say to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do want to mention just real quick three things that are happening this week. They're all on the back of your little handout if you got one of those. One is this Thursday night is the next Joyful Noise worship night at 6:30. If you want to join some folks from a handful of other churches that get together here on Thursday nights once a month to worship and hear a message and pray for each other, you're invited. You're welcome to come. And then Friday... this Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock is a re-entry simulation. This is, are you going to be leading it, Sam, or somebody else leading it? So many of you know Sam Burgett, our resident, I was going to call you our resident social worker, I'm not sure. Anyway, the one who runs Community Change Center and the food truck that we're excited about. Did you guys see the new fridge and freezer as you walked in? The kitchen floor is done. Dennis is going to be putting those in this week. And then either later this week or beginning of next week, all of our cabinets and fridges that are in the back will finally, and the stove will finally get put back where they go in the kitchen. The kitchen floor looks beautiful. Anyway, thank you to all of you who helped make that happen and to the folks who were involved with getting the grant that helped make a bunch of that happen. But anyway, Sam is, her nonprofit and her work is trying to help people who've been incarcerated, who are leaving incarceration, to not go back, you know, and to try to re-enter society successfully. And some of you know from personal experience what that's like and how challenging it is. Many of us don't know what that's like other than just having talked to people and heard some stories. So this is it's a simulation. It's about an hour and a half, and it's free. So if you would like to be here this Friday at 2 o'clock, it's Juneteenth, and that seemed like an appropriate date to Sam to do this. Some of you, 2 o'clock on Juneteenth works great because it's a holiday and you've got the day off. I know if it doesn't work for you, I apologize, sorry. But that's when we get a chance to do this. So if you'd like to join us this Friday at 2 o'clock right here for a re-entry simulation, to get an interactive experience of what it's like to try to re-enter society after incarceration. And then Saturday at 12:30, Yahweh Army is going to be back here with a free lunch and worship and testimony. And our own, where'd she go? Our own Courtney is going to be sharing her story, sharing her testimony this Saturday. So if you want to hear her story and her testimony, that's coming up this Saturday along with lunch and everything. So today, you can see inside there this morning's message. We're wrapping up this series on God's blessings. and what it means to be blessed by God and who it is that God blesses. We've looked at a couple different blessings from Scripture. That one that I use pretty often here at the end of Sundays, from the end of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, where he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's how he ends his letter. It's how I often end our services together. Then last week, we looked at that blessing from Numbers chapter 6, the one that we have sung the last 2 weeks, and I think we're going to sing it again during communion today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. These are blessings from Scripture where God actually does bless our lives, where God actually steps into our life for our good and blesses us in so many different ways. And today, we're going to look at who is really blessed. But before we do that, we finally realized that we've got so many stories of God's faithfulness and the ways that God is at work in our lives here in our congregation. And back when I was growing up, and I was going to church, my dad was a pastor, and so we were at church every time it was open. And the church building was open a lot because Sunday morning there was church, and there was usually a Sunday school hour that went along with that. And then Sunday night we'd come back and for church, and Wednesday night we'd be back, and there were pretty much any time the church door was open, we were there. And Sunday nights, a lot of times what would happen was kind of testimony time. Some of you remember this from having grown up in churches that did this, where a lot of what Sunday night would be is people just sharing, here's how God's been at work in my life, here's what he's done for me, here's how he rescued me from whatever life I was stuck in before he got a hold of me. And we realized we don't really have a place to hear those stories very well. And I kept thinking, oh, we'll work it in on a Sunday. I'll, you know, find a message that ties really well with somebody's story, and we'll work it in, I'll invite them to speak. And finally I realized, you know, it's been like 26 years almost, and I keep not doing that. So let's instead just find a day regularly that we can share some stories. And so we thought, first Sunday of the month, we've been inviting you to wear name tags so you get to know each other a little bit. Maybe the second Sunday could be for stories. And so here we are on the second Sunday of the month, and we're going to hear a story before I get into today's message. So come on up, John. As I was talking with Missy and Pastor Judy and Romeo, and we were talking about this idea, somebody said, well, I just heard John's story the other night at a meeting. It was fantastic. If he's willing to share, that'd be great. Some of you know John. He's been, I don't know, back there clicking buttons in the 10:30 service for, I don't know, a long time. I don't know, Mr. Faithful back there. So he got up at 9. He got up early to be here at 9 to share with you guys. So I'm going to give you the mic, and you just share what God's laid on your heart to share.
Sounds like a plan, Rich. Good morning, Living Hope. I'm John Gasper. As Rich said, I've been coming here faithfully for a little over the last 2 years, and so I've been on a journey. First and foremost, I'll say thank you, God, for everything. God is great. I wouldn't be here without him. My life has changed exponentially. If I bust out in tears, it's only tears of joy, so don't be worried. I've been around for 54 years, believe it or not, and just the last 3 years of my life, I've started to live. And so, actually, it's coming up on 3 years on June 22nd, which is coincidentally my parents' wedding anniversary, which, and I'm blessed to have both of them in my life. Still to this day, every Sunday after I leave here, I go hang out with Mom and Dad, and I couldn't be luckier and happier. My journey started just like this. I went down on my knees, and I said, Jesus, save me. And I did that, and as soon as I did that, I looked through the bars of the jail cell I was in, and there was the Holy Bible. And I said, oh, come on, you know, this is coincidental, you know. There's no such thing as coincidence. It's, you know, it's the Lord. Now I know that. So I picked up the Bible, and as soon as the cell opened up next day, I picked up the Bible, and I read it. And I was in such a decrepit state, physically and mentally. I can only read a few words, and I my heart was racing, and I could barely breathe, I could barely focus, and that was it. That was enough for that day, and I was so tired, I slept, you know, like a baby. Next day, I woke up again. Well, now I have the Bible in my possession, because nobody else in the cell was reading it, so I read some more, you know? And I was able to get about the first paragraph. Of course, I started at the beginning like you're supposed to. And that day passed, and I got a little stronger. And third day came, and I was able to finish the first chapter, you know, and in Genesis. And then everything started getting better. So I was always a straight-A student. I graduated third in my grade school, like out of a class of 60 people. My older sister, very intelligent too. My younger sister, very intelligent also. My father, very intelligent. Mom's very intelligent. Perhaps I was too smart for my own good. Then I attended Marian Catholic High School. I was born and bred a Catholic. My mom taught CCD. My dad was an usher at church, and we'd go to church every Sunday. And of course, I received reconciliation and communion, you know. And then high school, I did really good, too. Straight-A student, once again, you know. Graduated, I think, sixth in the class out of about 150. And I was blessed to go to DePaul University because my grandmother paid for me because I was the only son in my family. I went to DePaul and started experimenting and thinking that I could do things on my own in life. Luckily, I recovered. My last trimester at DePaul was my best one. I went down, I came back up. And I graduated A++'s that whole semester in every class. Two of the classes I was invited to sit in on were graduate classes. I just audited them. And that was an experience. Then from there on, for about, you know, the next 30 years, I was just in the desert of life. And I thought I could do everything. I thought I was right. I thought I knew everything. And I was wrong. And with that being said, so I began reading the Bible. This is something I always wanted to accomplish. I never had time for it, you know. Well, God made the time. And so I read the Bible. Long story short, I accumulated more felonies than I ever had accumulated in my life within a 2-year run at it, 5 counties wide. And nobody would answer the phone for me. Mom wasn't answering the phone. Dad was not answering the phone, who later I found out that Dad was the one who was always putting money on the books, not Mom. So I was sweet-talking the wrong person. About 2 months into my journey, my mom finally picked up the phone, and because I finally got through one county, and albeit, mind you, that my charges were serious, you know, it was just basically a person self-indulging in the pleasures of life, but because of my past felonies, I was lucky to be blessed with enhanced terms, so I was looking at something about 7 to 14 years going to prison. Well, within those 2 months, my relationship with the Lord just grew exponentially. And I was plowing through the Bible every day, and I was not reading nothing but the Bible. And I got to know God, and I got to know myself. And I got to know how to be patient. And it wasn't about what I wanted, it's about what God wanted. By the third time, I did it 3 times. I got down on my knees and asked the Lord to save me and Jesus to save me. But on the third time, I had a little bit of wisdom. I said, Lord, just save me. I said, I can't do it. Just do whatever you want to do with me. I said, I'm sorry for trying to misconstrue the decision-making process here. And it's not about me. It's all about you. So then I went to another county. Got through that one real quick. And as I went to county to county, they'd take your photo, you know, when you're getting processed. By the time I got to Porter County, I had a smile on my face and I looked like $1 million. They were like, why are you so happy? I'm like, well, I got the Lord, man. It doesn't matter anymore. But it took me 6 months to read the Bible from the beginning to the end. For the first time in my life, I did something that I could say was an accomplishment that I accomplished, but with the Lord's grace. And so halfway through the Bible, there was one passage that just stuck out. And it was like, yes, this is the moment. And I was like, okay. And it was Job 28:28. And that passage says, have respect for the Lord and his wise, and avoid evil, and that will show you have understanding. And I said, that's it. That's what I was looking for, wisdom and understanding. And I needed that in my life. And so from there on forward, I do everything out of respect for God, and I avoid all evil. The Bible's great. It tells you exactly the difference between right and wrong. And it's got plenty of stories in it also to go hand in hand with that. One of my favorite stories that, you know, as I was incarcerated, people see me reading the Bible and they go, would you come and do a prayer circle for us? And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm, you know, all right, because I never saw myself as a Jesus freak or nothing like that. And once again, I respect the Lord who rules over all. But so I said, okay, so I would do that. And they would say, can you explain some of the Bible to us? I don't know. I'll try my best. I said, you know, one of my favorite stories, another one is Moses with his brother Aaron when they're, you know, being hampered by Pharaoh. And, man, that's where I learned God can do whatever he wants. And he gives you plenty of chances. And he'll strike you down. You know, and there's the first plague, the second plague, the third plague. And Pharaoh says, you know, and this is where it comes, don't mock other people. And it's very wrong to do, right? And Pharaoh says, well, if your God is so great, why is he plaguing your people as well as our people? Moses, of course, what do you think about that, Lord? Lord says, well, watch this now. Everybody in Goshen, sun's going to shine on Goshen. The rest of the world will be cast in the darkness. Boom. And that told me right there, I said, yeah. I said, now I see the difference. And that's a lot like Valparaiso is to me. It's like, I feel like I'm Goshen. I feel like I'm amongst God's chosen people. And it was right here where I started my journey. You know, and then, of course, unlike Pharaoh, I read the rest of the story, and yeah, you know, now I praise and give glory to God every day. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I talk to God, and it's great. I'm like, hey, God, you know, good morning, how you doing? When every morning I wake up, I'm like, good morning, Lord. That's how I wake up every day. Good morning, Father. And I read the Bible every morning. First thing, first and foremost, is read the Bible. So right now I've been reading 2 chapters a day. And I'm just coming up on my second time through the Bible. I just finished Acts this morning, and I'll be starting Romans tomorrow. So it's pretty much coinciding with my 3 years. And so my second time through the Bible. And now it's like it's in piqued my interest that now I'm going to start again because I'm just going to keep reading the Bible over and over. But this time I'm going to take notes just like I learned in college because there's certain key elements that, why not? It's gotten me so far in 3 years that I feel like I just started living life 3 years ago. And that's another thing that goes with me. Everybody always sees me smiling and stuff like that. And one of my recovery coaches mentioned that I might suffer from something called arrested development. And so basically, I'm like a 10 to 19-year-old kid. I haven't grown past that. But I'll tell you what, it's good to be a child of God. And so I enjoy helping others, and I love participating in everything. And I mean, yeah, I got a smile on my face like I just ate the cat or the cat that ate the canary. That's because I'm in the greatest relationship in my life, and that's with God. And moving mountains, he took care of everything. All my legal matters just poof, went away. All my worries and anxieties have dissipated for the first time in my life. Just recently, I'm finally to the point where I'm anxiety-free. I mean, albeit this week, you know, I just go through my head what I would be saying up here and stuff and how I was going to talk. And the Lord just tells me, oh, you're going to be fine. Do as I move you. Okay. But still, he was sitting there and we're going through stuff as I'm working. And we just love it. And we're just having a good time laughing. Another thing that I recently learned the last 2 months was I started bringing God with me to work. So I said, Lord, you know, I said, instead of crying out, I need you, which he knows I do, I was like, God, would you like to come to work with me today? And he said, of course. Because the Lord answers me now. He does things like this. He goes, Or he goes, And most recently he says, oh, yes. And but I hear God talking to me directly. I mean directly. And there's times where he just says something. I'm just sitting there and boom, he tells me exactly what to do. You just do this right now. Okay. Like things that I've been putting off. He doesn't tell me the why about it, but then after I do it, I see the logic in it. He made me stronger. By doing this action, it made me stronger. By taking care of something I had been putting off for years, it made me stronger. I'm able to focus. I feel that I have good integrity. My work ethic has never been better. So God's been coming to work with me the last 2 months, and boy, I'll tell you, I've been having a good time. There's days where I just watch my hands just work, and it's like I'm just sitting there watching, and I enjoy it. It's like that's the Lord working, and he shows me. He says, see, this is how it's done. This is how it's done. So don't even worry about this. That's it. I said, thank you, God. And so now, you know, there's been days where I go to work, and he goes, I go, oh. Would you like to come to work with me today, God? And I don't expect you to do any work today, but if you want, you can join me. He's like, okay, thank you. I was waiting for you to ask, okay. And so I've been having a really ball time at work. It's been very fun now. So even work isn't like work. Another important factor. Oh, when I was incarcerated, one of the things that I prayed for, and this is about prayer, right? I'm doing good with prayer. God gives you whatever you ask for. But it says like in the Bible, don't keep bothering him. Just ask him once. He's got you. He's got your prayer request. You're only supposed to ask once. And that's just one of the things I'm working on. Because I love people too. And I don't like to see people in pain or in suffering. But I've learned by asking only once, boom, God's got you. He's going to take care of that situation. So I prayed to be able to enjoy my parents again. And I've been in the greatest relationship with my parents like I never had before in my life. As well as my two sisters and their husbands. And for the first time in my life, like even my younger sister who used to hamper me all the time when I was younger, she'd ask, you know, Don't be around this or that or whatever. She doesn't even say that anymore. We just have normal conversations, and it's so pleasant, you know. So it's nice to just totally give up the past. I accept the past. Yeah, I was wrong. And at the same token, thank you so much, God, for saving me. Thank you for delivering me here to this community. I started coming to this community because somebody told me, you can stay at this homeless shelter over here when you get out. So I got out of Porter County, and I walked there on a very cold morning in January, and I stayed here for one night. And then after that, I just kept coming back. Likewise, when Rich was looking for, you're requesting that somebody could do the audio-visual, and they were looking for audio-visual at Second Service, and I was sitting over at that table, and God was like, this is it. This go. Just go. Yes, okay. So I went, you know, I heard God's voice. And it's nice to humble yourself, right? And that was very hard for me to do. Once again, I knew everything. And now I've learned how to humble myself. But by humbling myself, it's opened up so many doors and opportunities that I just never expected. I mean, there's days where I just see miracles happen, like 100 miracles a day. There's days like that where I just see so many things occurring. As I'm walking through life, that I'm like, that's God. That's the Lord right there, you know. Definitely. Thank you. I'm blessed. I live in Wheatfield. At first, I thought it was a curse. I was in the middle of nowhere, and I live in a little rundown apartment, but now I learned to love it. And my building's a 130-year-old farmhouse, so when the wind came through the other day, I said, God's like, Dad, don't worry, this house ain't going nowhere. And I'm very blessed with that. The nicest part about it is, like this whole year, once again, I learned to live again. I get to see the sky every day I go home and every day I come to Valparaiso because it's nothing but farm fields. And you can see all the way east and all the way west. And I see the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets that I'm in awe. And I don't know how I do it. There's days where I drive home and 30 minutes go by and I didn't even know because I'm sitting there in a conversation with God all the time. And he drives the car. And that's a real pleasant feeling, you know. One more thing, I learned to tithe for the first time in my life because I wanted to see what that was about, right? And it's giving 10% of what you got before taxes, before you pay anybody else. I did it. I would give when I didn't even have a job. I gave when I didn't even have money. You know, I gave when I didn't have nothing. Oh, my Lord, if you haven't tithed, you got to do that. Like you say, man, God will bless you, you know, tenfold, a hundredfold, a thousandfold. The blessings just keep coming. And so I'm so grateful to God. I'm in a great relationship with him. And I hope that everybody here is in a good relationship with the Lord and enjoy life to the fullest. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Yeah, I didn't even ask him to add that last part. No, I had no idea. I'd heard bits of John's story, you know, along the way, but hadn't heard some parts of that and was very glad to hear that. So thank you. If you would like to share your story sometime, just let me know. Even if you don't think you can live up to the high bar that John set, okay? If you'd like to share your story, we would love to hear how God has been at work in your life. I'm just going to take just a very few minutes to look at some of these scriptures, okay? So if you have this with you, actually, you know what? Before that, can we just thank God for John? I want to pray for him real quick, okay? God, thank you for the ways that you've been at work in John's life. Thank you for the story that he has to share now of the ways that you have helped him to come alive in ways that he just wasn't before. God, your spirit at work with him every single day. Continue, God, the good work that you're doing in his life as he continues to listen for your spirit speaking through the scriptures, as he continues to be obedient to you and to your voice. God, continue this beautiful relationship and help him to just continue to grow in it, to continue to become the person you created him to be. God, thank you for sending him our way. And thank you for the chance we had to give him that one night of shelter that he needed before he was ready to move on to other things. But thank you, God, for that connection that you made that day and for the way that relationship has continued now. God, we are so grateful for the work you're doing in his life, in all of our lives. Thank you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question I was asking this morning is, who is really blessed? And we've got Psalm 1 gives us one little picture of that. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. You know, so they don't hang out with people who are causing trouble, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. That's kind of a picture of being blessed, right? Whatever they do, it prospers. They a well-watered tree that's producing the fruit it's supposed to produce. He said, this is one who's blessed. They delight in the law of the Lord. They delight in listening to God and doing what God tells them to do. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. So instead of well-watered, they just dried up. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And John's story was just reminding us of how good it is to get off that path to destruction, to get on the path that leads to life, the way of the righteous, where God watches over us. I can't help but think of last week with the Lord, you know, turning his face towards you, giving you peace, watching over you, blessing you, and keeping you, protecting you. So that's one picture of who's blessed. And that was, I think, the dominant picture as Jesus comes on the scene. You know, that was from the Psalms. That was the first of 150 Psalms, the prayer book, the song book of God's people down through the generations. And you know, so when Jesus shows up, there were quite a few folks who thought, yep, the blessed people are the good people. The people who are good and who do what they're supposed to do, they're blessed. The people who are bad, the people who are wicked, oh, they're evil, they're chaff, they're just going to blow away. And that's why they're not blessed. That's why they're suffering. And so if someone was suffering or struggling, then they thought, oh, well, they must be wicked. They must not be obeying God, and that's why they're not blessed. And Jesus shows up and kind of flips things on its head. Some of you are real familiar with the Beatitudes. You're looking ahead and you're like, oh, yeah, the blessed are these people. And we got Matthew's version is the one we're most familiar with. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Kind of the people who've been beat down, right? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Some of these are saying, like, you know, some of these are things that we can aspire to. It's kind of like behavior, a way to live, like being merciful, being pure-hearted, being a peacemaker. But some of them are just like situations people find themselves in, right? People who are mourning. He's saying, you are blessed because you will be comforted. People who are meek, kind of lowly, because you will inherit the land, inherit the earth. Those who are beat up and poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, these are the people that God is blessing. Those that others sometimes look down on, he says, no, you are blessed. It becomes even clearer in Luke's kind of version of the Beatitudes. That sounds very different. It's even at a different location. And I have to think, well, Jesus spent like 2 or 3 years walking around teaching people. I'm sure he, you know, said these things more than once. And so Matthew records one version of this message that Jesus gives. Luke records a different one. Instead of going up a mountain, he's coming down a mountain. He's just been praying and talking to God with his disciples. And I'll skip over that paragraph how everyone's gathering around and all the good that he's doing. And then it says, looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man, because of Jesus. He's saying, if you find yourself poor, hungry, weeping, hated, excluded, insulted, he says, you are blessed. We have this tendency to, we would look at them and say, well, no, they're not blessed. They're the opposite of blessed. Maybe they're cursed. Maybe that's why they're suffering like they are. Maybe God has cursed them. God's looked away from them. God's not watching over them. But Jesus says, you are blessed because you have a need and God is going to meet it. And you're going to be so grateful. You're going to be kind of like what John was saying earlier. You know, he can't wipe the smile off his face because he's seen such a dramatic change in his life because of God's involvement in it, because of what God's done for him. It reminds me a little bit of what Jesus said when he was asked one time, like, why do you hang out with all this riffraff, all these dirty, rotten sinners? And he says, well, look, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. It's like, these are folks who are aware of their need for me, and so they come to me to find that healing and that hope and that help that they need. And so they are blessed. They experience healing where you think you're healthy, so you don't come to me at all. He gives these blessings, but then, I think I left this, rejoice in that day and leap for joy when you're hated, excluded, insulted because of him. Because great is your reward in heaven, for that's how their ancestors treated the prophets. And then he goes on to say, but woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Jesus kind of flips things upside down and says, if you're doing well, everyone's speaking well of you, and you've got everything you need, and you're fat and happy, and he says, you got to watch out. Be careful, because you're in that place where you're going to think you got it all figured out. You think you can do it yourself. You think you don't need God. And that's when you find yourself on that road leading to destruction. So, who is really blessed? The people that God blesses are the people who are aware of their need for him, for his help. People like John, who find themselves in jail cells crying out, please save me, God. People like us, when we recognize our need for him. I got to admit, that Luke one's tough for me because I'm doing okay, you know, and life is pretty good. And so I got to be on the receiving end of the warning saying, hey, watch out, man. Make sure that you don't think you got this all figured out. Make sure you don't think that you can do this without God. Make sure that you are allowing God to use you to bless those who find themselves poor, hungry, weeping, hated. Because that's how we get to participate in the blessing that God is doing. I don't know which one you're hearing this morning. If you're being encouraged, it's like, oh, good. God hasn't forgotten me. I felt like he'd forgotten me because of my circumstances. But he calls me blessed. He calls you loved. He reminds you today that he is with you, that he sees you, and that help is on its way. Or maybe you're hearing the watch out, the warning. If you're like me and hearing that, then I hope that you responded in a way that I try to. I say, okay, God, I want to be careful. I want to follow, trust and follow you. I don't want to trust in whatever my comfortable circumstances. We mentioned the last 2 weeks, God always blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can be a part of his good work in the world. And I'm so thankful that as a church we're able to do that, and that as individuals we have opportunities to do that. And I'm just going to, I don't know, I want to pray for us. Before we move on to communion, I guess I just want to give God's Holy Spirit a chance to settle that into our minds and hearts. God, thank you for looking at folks that others might think are cursed or rejected and pouring out your blessings right there. Thank you for loving us when we are at our worst. That's what your word tells us. It's when we were stuck in our sin, when we were dead because of our sins, when we were hating you, if we were thinking of you at all. That's when you came in the person of your son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, that's when you gave your life for us out of love for us. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you for not waiting until we had our act together, for not waiting until we'd finally made our way through the Bible, or waiting until we'd finally gotten our lives straightened out. Because God, we never would have been able to do that on our own. Thank you for coming to ordinary, messed up people like us with your grace, with your love, with your spirit, with your blessings. Thank you, God, that when we turn to you, we do find that you're a God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, just like we heard last week. You're a God who is looking our way with love. Help us, God, if we find ourselves in a low point in life, to know that we are loved by you. Help us to experience your blessings. Help them to come sooner rather than later. Help us to have hope, because you promise that the comfort is coming. The help is on its way. And God, for those of us who find ourselves in a good place, would you help us not to get comfortable, not to think it's all for us, but would you help us to be a part of your work in the world, allowing your blessings to flow through us to bless folks who desperately need to know that you're with them and that you love them. You've surrounded us with neighbors, God. Some of us literal neighbors, like living next door to us, some of them in our families, some in our schools or our workplaces. God, you have surrounded us with people who need to know that the God who made them loves them and is with them. Would you help us to allow your blessings, your grace, your goodness to flow through us to bless them? You are so good to us, God. We are so grateful. Thank you. Thank you for this sacrament of Holy Communion that we get to celebrate today, together with Christians around the world, offering to you these simple gifts of bread and juice. We pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, you took bread and broke it and gave it to your disciples, said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup, said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." So Jesus, as we come to your table, we do remember the great love that you have for people like us, that you would take our sin on yourself and by your death and resurrection, break the power of sin and death and the devil to set us free, so that today we can turn to you and find that when we cry out to you, "Lord, save me," you do. You rescue us. You set us free from those sins that have had us in chains. You take the weight of the guilt off of us. You wipe away the shame that has stained us. You help us to see ourselves anew as your sons and daughters, embraced and loved by our Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, that we don't need to walk through life defined by our past failures, but instead we can be known as people loved by you and can know ourselves that way, as your daughters and sons, loved by our Heavenly Father. We give ourselves to you today, acknowledging our need of your grace. We've not always loved you with all that we are. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. There might be some specific things today, God, that you're pointing out to us that we just need to agree with you. Ooh, you're right, God. That is sin. That is destructive of me and those around me. Help us, God, to turn from sin, to turn to you, to receive that forgiveness and that freedom, that life. Fill us today with the Spirit of Christ, we pray. Change us from the inside out that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as your sons and daughters. Oh God, you are so good. We are so grateful. Thank you for the blessings you pour out on us this day and the chance we get to celebrate your grace and your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Missy's going to come back up and lead us in one last song. Pastor Judy, would you help me serve communion today? We'll be up here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and then return to your seats. We've got the regular, like, pita bread, basically, or some round gluten-free wafers if you need those. Or we've got some little cups that you can take back to your seat if you'd rather peel it back and get to the bread and juice there. Or some of you I know picked them up in the baskets on the way in. We want this to be open to everybody who is saying yes to Jesus. We don't want any concerns about germs to keep anybody away from this experience of his grace. So if you have said yes to Jesus, if today you're saying yes to him, if you're hungry for his grace, grateful for his love, this is for you. Let's celebrate.
Shine upon you and be gracious to you.
children, may his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family and your children.
Thank you, God, for the blessings you have poured out on us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, we pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ that we might be changed, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, sharing with others the great goodness and grace and love and compassion and hope that you have filled us to overflowing with. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've already received the blessing in Psalm, but let me say it again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.